When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
We do what we do in the building, you know, and there is accountability here, and we hold each other accountable to it, and that's what I know in the building. So perceptions are, you know, what they are, Herb, and I appreciate your question. But in the building, we hold each other accountable. It's about our circle and the men in the building.
Whatever, man. Prove it.
But how can he prove it at this point?
Right now, a tight ship. Go show it on the field.
No boneheaded plays, no... You want the discipline that when Lena, we had her on talking about the Cardinals and just kind of how everything is policed and then also self-policed on top of that.
I'd also like to see what the actual discipline ends up being for Tyreek Stevenson.
I told you what it's going to be. He's just not going to start the game.
Okay. But that's tangible. That's okay.
And that's all you really asked for was something tangible. You didn't care as much the level of, more so that there was a tangible display.
There has to be something that is a consequence for doing what he did, regardless of all of their apologies. Losing the game and being an idiot and taking flack publicly for being an idiot is not the same as an imposed consequence.
In-house. Yeah. You want in-house. ISS is what we used to call it, the in-school suspension. It's like, you're not suspended. You're still going to come to school and do your work. You're just going to be in isolation as you do so.
Yeah, I remember in grade school, there was on the wall or on the bench. And on the
What's
wall.
What's on the wall?
On the wall meant to start recess. You had to, your back had to be up against a brick wall for X amount of time before you were released for recess.
And then on the bench.
On the bench, post-lunch recess, you have to sit in the front of the school on the bench. It basically means you forfeit post-lunch recess.
Could you watch all the other kids having fun?
No, because they're on the other side of the school. Okay. You could hear them, though.
What would be like two different things that you would do that would demand one versus the other?
I never had either of them.
Really?
Yeah. I would always talk my way out of it.
That's how grade school?
Yeah.
10 and under, you're talking your way out of punishment?
Yeah, because if you make people laugh, you know, there's always a way to
man, listen.
Always a way to lawyer
it's
your way out of stuff.
It is. I'm glad you recognize that, Studs. I think Dan recognizes it well.
Amen. As a 10-year-old, you're manipulating your way out of punishment?
To adults?
Hell yeah.
Man, listen, you come from a different... We had very different upbringings, and every day on this program, I'm reminded of that. And that's fine. It's just hilarious to me.
And the other thing, too, is it's hard to make a punishment stick if you haven't gotten a question wrong on an exam or a quiz the entire year.
I disagree. Like,
it's like, come on, what are we doing here? You know this is, you're not gonna.
So if Tyreek Stevenson was an all-pro, would the punishment not stick?
You've been around football long enough. you've been around this game a long time. You know how that works. But look, Jalen Johnson is feeling himself a little bit too, in a good way,
as he should.
And he's one of these of the many paid vested veterans who have been really critical of a lot of stuff that went on last week. So just listen to this with open ears. Jalen Johnson asked directly about his level of support for head coach Matt Eberflus.
What do you think about the heat that's been on your head coach, Matt Eberflus?
I don't know what heat you're talking about.
Just in terms of critiques of him, second to the last play of the game, maybe not calling a timeout for the last play. There has been a lot of people talking about Matt Eberflus and his decisions.
I don't got nothing to do with me, honest. I mean, that's something that he got to deal with, and I mean, that comes with it. I mean, I'm sure Tariq got the same criticism. I mean, if you're somebody in this high spotlight situation like that, you're going to be critiqued. So, I mean, I don't think nothing of it.
So 100% support from you guys in the locker room for your head coach.
Yeah, it's our head coach.
We asked him how he retains your guys' belief, and he said to ask you guys. So how does he retain your belief?
How does he retain our belief?
As your head coach, like, how do you stay believing in him going forward?
How do we stay believing in him? I mean, I thought that's quite honestly part of the job, you would think. I mean, as long as somebody's your head coach. I mean, the same thing with, in a sense, the quarterback situation. When everybody asks, are you behind Justin? He's our quarterback. He's who we're going with. I mean, so at the end of the day, whoever's in that position, whoever is in our locker room, whoever is our coaches are, I mean, that's who we believe in. That's who we trust to lead us to the championship at the end of the day.
You had a problem with that answer?
I have no problem with that answer, but
I thought he was honest, forthright, authentic.
Yes.
Because you were complaining about other guys feeling that they had been muzzled.
No, I love that answer. But he's basically saying, yeah, he's the coach. So what choice do I have?
But that's the truth. He is the coach, so he doesn't have a choice.
But what he could say, and what you might hear someone who actually really said, regardless of saying, well, whoever's in that coaching position is our coach, and we have to believe in the coach, that is the bare minimum. You would expect somebody to say, I believe in Matt Eberflus, and I'm trying to envision a reason for it. I'm saying,
let me know when you come up with one.
Well, no, this is theoretical. Somebody theoretically could say, not just I have no choice but to believe in the coach because this is the coach and this is how it works. Sort of like last year when everybody knew what was going on with the quarterback, and you're asking me if I like the quarterback, but it's a quarterback. I mean, he's telling you so much in that, where you've heard people say, This is an this coach is an inspirational leader, and I will follow him anywhere because I believe in him or her or they. But that was not that.
Why would you expect that to happen? I don't understand why your expectation.
I would just love to hear him say something more.
You want him to lie to you?
No.
That's what you're saying. That's what you're saying, Dan.
No,
you're saying you want Jalen Johnson to lie to you about the situation.
No,
here's why.
No. That's not fair. I do not want him to. What I'm saying is, we have heard players truthfully express belief.
No, I'm talking about Matt Eberflus.
Obviously not Matt Eberflus.
But my point is, Matt Eberflus hasn't done enough to garner the type of support that you want players to have for him.
Or any coach who they actually respect. This is the point. Is it an answer that perfunctory, that paint by numbers about essentially parenthetical coach tells you a lot?
Yeah, he respects the position of head coach.
Exactly.
And he respects the position of starting quarterback. And if this
Correct.
Is where we're going, I'm going to be a good teammate.
Yes.
I'm going to be a good player.
Yes.
And support whoever is leading us.
Yes.
Because leaders lead, but leaders also know how to follow, and I think Jalen Johnson is a leader.
And that quote, when I read it,
you know, you needed to listen. When I tell you, I said no, you have to hear it,
and I did. And now I've read it. In Dan Wiederer did a really good job in, and I don't know when it's going to run because I don't think it's in the print edition today, but I know it's
so maybe Saturday.
It's in his Twitter feed. I never know with the way some of these
digital versus the print.
Yeah, I read something online and then I don't know when it's going to show up in the print edition. And when I say print, I mean the e-newspaper that I get now, because it got to the point where I felt bad having them chop down trees and propel trees in around the world. It didn't make a lot of sense.
My point is, you're making this into a bigger deal than it is, because at this point, why would you expect anyone to throw all this support behind a guy who, again, has led them to an okay start?
Yeah, I think it is indicative of sort of how they feel about their guy.
They've been through so much with Matt Eberflus, whether you want to talk about the start last season or just the horrific tank season of 2 years ago. It's hard for me to believe in anything except for what I see on the field and then the reaction to what I see on the field.
Another reason why it's a big game. Because you are going on the road against an actual quarterback. And this isn't Bailey Zappe, and it's not Josh Dobbs. It's not Sam Howell. It's somebody who may not be at the peak of his profession, but he's certainly a good NFL quarterback.
Mac Jones. Wasn't Mac Jones in
that
game?
Well, Jones started that game.
But
this, they've never, under Matt Eberflus,
being a good quarterback,
gone on the road.
On the road.
Ever. And this would qualify as a good quarterback. It would be the kind of win they've never gotten before, and this kind of victory would suggest that they are at least incrementally better than they have been.
And again, I want to really hammer this down. The Cardinals' defense is not good.
No.
It is not. It has been good in stretches, but it has not been consistently good. It is nowhere near the Bears' defense. I don't believe that Caleb Williams has to outperform Kyler Murray, and I wouldn't expect him. I would expect him to do so, but I think that running game has to get unleashed early and often. I think obvious plays have to be made. obvious plays have to be called. When you get on the goal line,
he'd do it again.
No, he'd do it again back then. He's not doing it going forward. I guarantee you, Dent, we can make a wager right now. We haven't had a dollar bet in a while. It could be a season-long bet. Doug Kramer's not getting another handoff this season. I'll make that dollar bet right now.
Okay. If you broaden that.
To what?
To a touch. To at some point.
No, he might get thrown to, because okay. All you can do if you throw to is you just drop it. There's no risk of a fumble there. Because you're only doing that on a goal line play.
So you think that at no point.
Is he getting a handoff. He's not getting the ball handed to him. It's not happening. You've got. Look at the open road you have for this bet.
I want to take.
All you need is one. All you need is one. It's a dollar, man.
It is really tempting.
But you know better.
But I think you're right. I'm not gonna take it. I think you're right.
Easy dollar for me.
I think even with all his tough talk yesterday,
I'd have to wait a while to get it.
Yeah, but I think even with his tough talk, you're probably right.
That's when you're like, oh, he's so dumb, blah, blah. I was like, nah, he's just talking to talk. He's not going to do that again. He might make other mistakes, but that won't be the mistake.
Oh, he might top that one.
I can't fathom right now what would top that in this moment. Maybe if I had the weekend to think about it, maybe after I watch the game, I'll have things that he could do to further top it. But bottom line is, Shane, draw up something that works against mediocrity. Because you faced mediocrity last week, and it was not it. I want to see how they do with the tempo and if they make the adjustments to the adjustments.
The easy way, by the way, to top the Doug Kramer dive is have Doug Kramer throw the ball.
But that's, when I say that can't happen, that won't happen, it has not been repped in practice.
You're saying it's hard for you to imagine a stupider play? Like
That's actually feasible.
It's not fair to Doug Kramer. That's the sad thing here.
Well, and here's the thing.
All that poor kid is doing is trying to do his job.
No.
And he's become this lightning rod. And
one's blamed Doug Kramer.
No, he hasn't done anything wrong. I just feel bad for him because now his name is sort of dragged into this moment of Bears infamy.
Well, and the other thing is, like, the hate of the call isn't the play itself. I think we'd all be fine if they ran that play up 20 and then they fumbled. Like, they tried something fun. Big deal. In the moment, it was stupid. That's the criticizing of the call, right? So, like, the actual play itself is fine.
Absolutely.
Like,
I agree.
Fine. Using it in that moment was dumb as hell.
So, Studs makes a good point, because that's your avenue to getting this dollar, Dan, is when they go up by 20 on somebody, and then Shane Waldron's like, oh, y'all didn't like my play? How you like me now? And then he runs it, and they score on it.
I don't think.
No. You don't think he's got any petty in him?
With that kind of risk involved?
They're up 20 in the fourth quarter. He just laid out the situation. And now he's saying, oh, you thought I wouldn't go back to it? I don't listen to what y'all say. I do what I want.
I think the up 20 is a huge assumption.
I'm saying if it happens. That wasn't an assumption. I'm saying this is the possibility of it happening.
Maybe.
They can't be up 20 on anyone the rest of the schedule?
Maybe the Patriots.
Because it's at home?
Yeah, the Patriots suck out loud. They're terrible. I don't know how the Jets lost to that outfit. Because they are ass.
What would make you more upset? A win this week and a loss against the Patriots? Or a loss this week and a win against the Patriots?
Well, a loss this week, you're toast anyway.
But then now you're 5-4 and you can...
Either way, I think they're individual. I don't think one relates to the other. If you lose the Patriots, you're a bad football team.
If you beat the Cardinals.
If you lose to the Patriots, to this Patriots team, you are a bad football team. They are hot boiled butt. They're terrible. If you're the team that's stomping on Carolina and stomping on Jacksonville, if you don't stomp on the Patriots, then you've gotten worse.
10-7 is still realistic, right?
I guess, ish.
Yeah, if you win the next two games.
If you win the next two, yeah.
10-7 is 6-4. I got there. 6-4 the rest of the season. That
I was going to walk you through
feasible.
A bit. I wanted to see.
If they get healthier, yeah.
So
I don't know if it's going to be feasible with Brisker and Gordon continued out.
You need them healthy for the division game.
And I don't know about this offensive line yet. The biggest question for me is going on the road with whatever you're going to cobble together.
That to me, people talked about Montez Sweat, and yes, he's important. It's not going to matter if your offensive line can't. Offensive line.
Yeah, but they can barely pass rush. So you're going against the right team with a bad line.
They could barely pass rush until they saw this offensive line that we don't know if they can offensive line.
Here's Jalen, more from him on the sense of urgency this week.
We're not at a point to where we can let games like that go. Because, I mean, it can easily go from – it could have went from 5-2 or could have went to 5-2, and now we're in a position at 4-3 or fighting to stay above 500. So, I mean, like I said, nothing really is solidified, nothing. There's always a sense of urgency. I mean, you can win 3 in a row, you can lose 3 in a row. So, I mean, it's never – every week is different. Every situation is not to be taken lightly. So, I mean, just for me, for the team, I mean, every week is a great opportunity to win, and we can't let them slip through our hands.
So what do you need to see these next 4 days and on Sunday for you to feel like you guys have cleared the bar that you set?
We got to win. But, I mean, we can do things Monday through Saturday, and it all feels good going to the game. We lose, and quite honestly, it don't mean it to me. I mean, we're here for wins and losses, not just doing things the right way. I mean, hopefully doing things the right way gets us those wins, but, I mean, ultimately it's about winning and losing.
My man. Love him. See, Caleb and
who do you love more? I was saying, who do you love more, Caleb or Jalen?
I'll take Jalen for my defensive guy. I'll take Caleb for my offensive guy.
You got one. Which one?
Yeah, you got to choose one.
Caleb.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tough decision, I know.
It is a tough decision.
But, you know, franchise quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, he can control more. He's in charge of more. He's got more responsibility. So, and
even though technically I would say Jalen's more forthright.
Yeah, as far as just talking, yes.
He going to tell you what's on his mind.
Yeah, he has.
Caleb knows how to play the game.
I think Caleb is more of a diplomat.
Absolutely.
But he, for somebody his age, you'll give it some time. Man, I'm just imagining what Caleb's going to sound like 5-6 years from now.
That'll be determined by how well he plays. In the next
regardless of which
after
team
how many at. Super Bowls, my friend.
what city? This segment's been brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
So, speaking of the Caleb versus Jalen, I have my own dark horse in that. The guy I like to hear from, I like to hear from Cole.
Yeah, good point.
Because Cole, he keeps it real and he understands because he's from here. So he understands who he's talking to and how important it is to that audience.
Marshall, you're saying he knows the pain.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but this in large part is what the Wiederer piece is that I was discussing before, where he goes through the stuff Byard says and all this stuff that Jalen said, and he compares and contrasts Byard's comments with Jalen, describing Byard's as more diplomatic. Because in print, the stuff that Cole said about what was and wasn't happening in practice, like if you look at this as a block of commentary by half the captains, that's what is pointing to this game being huge. Like there's been a lot of talk about, well, they needed to do this. They quote unquote cleared the air.
How many times are you going to clear the air?
Right, yeah. How much of that do you get?
And how many times are you going to clear the air in such a public way?
I just want
to. You can clear the air in house every week if you want.
Just stop being stupid. Mm. You are more likely to win games when your coaches aren't stupid and your players aren't stupid. This isn't that hard. Stop making dumb calls. Stop forgetting there's a play going on. Stop losing sight of when you can call a timeout, whatever your terrible communications are between the guys in the booth and the guys on the field, fix all of it. Just stop being dumb and everything will get better. The problem is they're still dumb. And that's why it's hard to trust.
I'm not calling anyone stupid or dumb. I'm just saying they haven't been as prudent and efficient with their intelligence as they should have been.
But you're not calling anybody stupid.
Right. Right.